What? I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can go where it says I can go, including Guatemala. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to John 3:16. And I don't know of a better verse to say what God has given us. And here's my point today. I got one point today. Now, don't get excited because I can preach a long time on one point. Terry Trammell, remember Terry Trammell when he came? It's been years, probably 2 or 3 years ago, but I'll never forget the statement he made. He says, I've been in, and he had a 10-point sermon for us that day, you remember? And he said, okay, and he didn't tell us he had 10 points until he got on the 8 points, and he didn't preach for probably 25, 30 minutes. But he said, I'll never forget, he said, I heard a sermon one time with 1 point, and he said, then I heard one with 21 points. And then he said, but that's not the worst one I ever heard. The worst one I ever heard didn't have a point. So this has a point. And the only point I want to give you is this season, you know, give the kind of present Jesus gave. Give the kind of present Jesus gave. That's what I want you to focus on this month. And hopefully it'll just be a routine. I'm studying a book right now, reading a book, and it's not a Christian book. You can tell it's got some things in there that, you know, it's not Christian at all. But it's One Small Step to a Good Life, I think, or a Successful Life. Great book, and it just has inspired me to do some things. And that's what I'd like for you to do here. Just take just one small step in giving a present like Jesus would give this year. And when I talk about giving a present, here's what I want you to do. There's people in your life, maybe at work, at home, at family, but there's people in all of our lives that Jesus sends to us that are difficult people. Some of you didn't know Jesus sent them, did you? How many thought Satan sent them? Yeah. Now, Jesus sends us difficult people from time to time, so we'll pray and we'll know how to act and interact and react. And so I just believe He puts people in our life like that. Jesus Himself, when He was here, maybe had the religious group, the lawyers and all that were constantly nagging Him. They didn't understand who He was. They weren't walking in light, and so they would oppose Him because crowds thronged Him everywhere He went. And I think that's how we can know we're giving presents like Jesus gives us, when we draw a crowd. In our Bible study Wednesday night, I said, I don't think we're much like Jesus because we don't draw a crowd. Think about that for a little bit. We don't draw a crowd. When people see you, what is their response? Is it, how are you doing? I love being around you. Or is it, how are you doing? There they are again. What people think when they see you? They think something. I don't know what they think. But I'm just saying, I like for us to give gifts like Jesus gave. And then like the Father. John 3:16, it's very familiar scripture. For God so loved the world. That's me and you, isn't it? That He gave His only. Now that's a gift. When you give the only one you got. Remember when you were a kid and somebody asked you for something, you said, it's the only one I got. What did that mean? You're not getting it. It's the only one I got. You're not getting it. And so, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever, I mean, knows that includes the nice people, that includes the hateful people, that includes every walk of person, you know, homosexuals and different religions and whatever else it might, whosoever, believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the kind of gift that Jesus and God gave. And I'd like for us to, here's what I want us to do first. I need to get this out of the way, so, because I want you to have a very Merry Christmas this year. Now, the Bible says truth shall set you free. Is that what it says? John 8:31-32. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So you got to be truthful if you want to be set free. In fact, I'm going to do a survey, two questions. One is, how many is not stressed out about Christmas? but excited about Christmas. Honestly, there's no stress in you. It's all excitement and you're ready for it. Let me see your hand. Wow. There's more than I thought. We got some in every section. Leave your hands up. Okay, we got some in every section. I was going to move some of you over to the stressful people if we didn't have one, just so you could hang out with unstressful people. Now, here's the way it is. Some of us, we're just too dumb to be stressed. Everybody's too dumb to be stressed. Raise your hand. Well, most of us. Well, thank you for your honesty. We just don't know any better. And boy, I tell you a lot, that helps a lot, doesn't it, really? Just to be, you know, I've had people mad at me and I say, oh, you upset them. I say, I did not. They like me. So I'm telling you, they're upset. And I go back to, you upset me? Yeah, we're upset at you. Really? I'm just too dumb to know. So there's an advantage to that, you know. There's an advantage. Yeah, you've been mad at me a lot of times. I didn't know, didn't you? Tell you, Tom. He's my old buddy, though. We're buddies. In fact, he's given me a tongue lashing or two, had me over the years. And yeah, we forgot. It's on the blood, isn't it? Yeah, it's on the blood. But we're friends and we're brothers. And so I'm just saying, now, for you, this is what I want you to do. And I want everybody in our church to have a Merry Christmas. So this is what I want you to do. And just be honest. You say, you know what, I'm already stressing about the money. I'm already stressing about the family. I'm already stressing about... Just raise your hand. You can't get free if you don't raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ooh, they're coming on up. Yeah. God sees those hands, and I want that to be your faith, your hand of faith to Him to say, you know what? And this is who this message is for. I don't want you to be stressful anymore. I want you to leave this place today and say, you know what? It's not about money, and it's not about who likes me and how family gets along. We all want to get along, right? But here's the key, and here's what's going to be different. We're going to give gifts like Jesus gives this Christmas. And start it, just start it today. And so, whenever we had a sin problem, what did He do? He gave His only Son. Jesus gave His only life. And so, if we're gonna do that, then today we need to look at things differently. And so, for all of you that raise your hands, I just want you to know, if it's money, let me just give you, I'm gonna ask the Holy Spirit just to give you creative juices, if you will, this season. So you don't, instead of stressing, you create positive things with that energy. How many knows it takes a lot of energy to stress? How many meditate around here? You, any meditators? You know what worry is? It's negative meditation. How many meditate around here? Yeah, you do. You meditate. Worry, that's all worry is. It's negative meditation. And so I want to take that negative, whatever would stress you out for Christmas, and I want you to put it into a positive mode. And here's... For instance, if you're worried about money for Christmas, Olin's got plenty. He'll share. Olin runs out. Cliff's got a big old house. I'm sure he's got a lot of money. Then there's Mark. He's a real estate broker. All kinds of guys you can go see. But if that don't work, yeah, if that don't work, just be honest with your children. You know, don't go out and make your credit card smoke. Don't do that this year. Amen. Just be honest with your children and say, you know what? We're going to have a great Christmas. And they say, oh, I'm getting all my toys? No, but we're going to have a great Christmas. And show them your budget, what you can afford without, and be happy. You know, I can afford this and I'll be happy. You know, and you may not be happy, but I'll be happy. And somebody's got to be happy, and you're the leader of your family. And teach them and train them that, you know what, it's not about the gift that you get. And here's a little thought that I had for some of you. If they have a big item, you know, kids want, we teach them to want, and, you know, and this culture they grow up in. Well, let them know that we can't afford this right now, but that's a great opportunity to say, we can't afford that for Christmas, but I tell you what I'll do. I'll help you pray about that thing you want. And if you'll work and help do extra things to create money and the funds for this, then we will work toward that. See? And then we can teach them values and teach them about money and saving, and so we can turn it into a positive energy. Those kind of things is what I'm talking about. For you that have family, that you know you're distressed about family, and and you can't never please them. You know, why would you give them a gift anyway? They're going to be mad either way. Why would you spend your money? Uncle Fred, I knew you was going to be mad anyway, man, so I didn't get you anything. So there you are. Just go ahead and get it out of your system, and let's have a good Christmas. Now, you don't have to say that, but you know what I'm saying? If they're going to be stressed anyway, you got somebody that you never can please them, why do you keep buying them gifts? Well, because we've created this culture that says you're supposed to do that. Well, that culture does not line up with this word. And so what I'd like for you to do is just say, you know what, there's going to be family times, there's going to be, you know, the family's not going to get along. That's just going to happen. That's that old sin nature that we deal with every day. And so that's not unusual. What I want you to be unusual about this year is how you react to that in giving. Like, for instance, I want to look at a couple of stories here today. And so turn with me to Luke 19, and I'll just show you a good example of what I'm talking about. Luke 19. Here's a guy in the crowd, and nobody likes him. And so what does Jesus do? He comes along and he shows us what to do if you have this person at your work or your house or something that no one likes. Everybody knows they don't. I want you to give them a present this year. And I want you to do it because you're a Christian. Because you are Christ-like. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you, dwelling in you. And regardless of who else has the power of God, you do. Because you're a Christian. You've received Christ. And so I want you to give them a gift like Jesus. I want you to play the role of Jesus in this story. Luke 19:1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was chief tax collector, and he was rich. And, you know, the story behind all this, most commentators believe that the tax collectors back then would skim off the top, and that's how they became rich. They were tax collectors, but they would keep some back for themselves, or they'd overtax people, and so they became rich. And you know, you just put yourself in their place. If we had this kind of system today, and you knew the old tax guy was coming by your house personally to collect from you, and you knew he was going to skim off the top, and he pulls up in his Rolls Royce to overtax you, how many said it would be hard to get a good attitude toward him? Yeah. If you think it'd be easy, you need therapy. Yeah, you know, you need salvation. You need help. It'd be hard. And so he said in verse 3, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. And so he's a little bitty guy. And so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. And he was going to pass that way. And you got to give him credit for one thing. He's persistent, isn't he? He's not too proud to climb a tree. How many rich people you know will climb a tree? You know? Rich people, they just want to pay to get a better seat, wouldn't they? But he's not proud. I mean, there's something there for him. Maybe that's why Jesus says, you know what? You climbed a tree just to look at me. Now I'm going to reward that bit of faith, if you will. See, we don't look at it like that. Some of you got really tickled last week when I told you, Jana said, you're too mature to act like that. And there's a compliment in there somewhere. You thought that was funny. It is funny, isn't it? Yeah. But isn't there a compliment in there somewhere? You're too mature. That was a compliment. And then the critique was to act like that. So I took the compliment and I said, I'm too mature to act like that. So I apologize and try not to act like that anymore. It's kind of the way he is. He's up in the tree and so he shows some interest. Jesus, in verse 5, came to the place. He came, once he got up in the tree, Jesus makes his way over to him. Doesn't take much act of faith, does it, to get a response from Jesus. And he looked up and saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down for today. I must stay at your house. I must stay at your house. And so evidently, remember Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I hear the Father. I'm listening for the Father. Now that's the key. When we're giving a present away this year and to this loved one that nobody likes, I want you to listen to the Father. Don't listen to tradition. You know, we all know how you are. You're going to get drunk or you're going to cause a scene or they're always going to be, well, that was last year and that was all the years before. Not this year, because this year there's power in the house through you. Aren't you tired of Christians being so wimpy and just griping about everything instead of having the power that we've got to do something about it? You're a powerful Christian? Well, go act like one. But it is cranky. I'm not going around them anymore. Well, that's powerful, isn't it? Bless your little weak Christian heart. Good Lord. We're petty, aren't we? Well, we're growing up this month. We're growing up. And so he says, so he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. How many knows he had a choice? He had options. He's rich. He didn't need Jesus, but he said yes. Now, here's the thing. What if Zacchaeus had said no? I'm not going anywhere with you. You're not coming to my house. I don't know who you are. I'm rich. You have nothing. You walk around and got a little group together and you're not coming to my house. That could have been a response, couldn't it? Jesus got that response sometimes. Remember the other rich young ruler when he said, you know what? You need to give what you have to the poor and follow me. And he rejected Jesus. So don't think Jesus didn't find rejection just like you and me. He was in the human form and he found rejection that day. The rich young ruler that day said, I'm not going to follow you and I'm not getting rid of my stuff. And he walked away sorrowful. So we got two different scenarios, same Jesus, same loving Jesus, same loving offer. And here's what I want you to get. They may not accept your gift of generosity, your gift of grace, your gift of unconditional love toward them, but that is not the point. Now, if you get this, you'll give away some good gifts this year. If you don't, you'll be your usual self like we usually do, and if you don't accept it, we'll fooey on you. You can fill in the fooey with whatever adjectives you use. Huh? I'm just saying, if you want to change and make your home happy this year and different, why don't we do it like Jesus and give gifts that Jesus gave instead of griping and being like every other person in the world about what's not right? Hallelujah! Yeah. We got the power to change if we choose to. You got Jesus inside, you got the Holy Spirit inside, you got the power, you got the Word of God, you got everything. A soft answer turns away wrath. When the family member that used to get rowdy, you just don't get rowdy with them anymore. And then when they say, what's the matter with you? You sick? Say, no, I'm completely well this year. I've been sick, but I'm well now. And I love you. I don't care what you say or what you do. I love you unconditionally. See, people don't know how to act to that. When I was in construction, I run on that all the time because I just love on people and I didn't care what they said about it. I've had men curse at me on the job and I didn't care. I just keep loving them. And they never knew what to do with that. They never did. They just, you're on a construction site, you're supposed to get mad. I just insulted you. And I'm just like, I love you, you know. Jesus loves you too. They're like, this guy's nuts. But almost every time, if I could stay around them for a while, I'd win them to Christ. You know, or at least said that. I've had one guy, he just boldly said to me, you don't even call me by my first name. I said, okay, what's your second name? Never changed my attitude. He didn't know what to say. He wouldn't tell me. But I was just so in love with Jesus at the time, I didn't care. And when I did hear people like that, I thought, bless their hearts, they're in a bad place. And what can I do, Jesus, to help them? Instead of saying, oh, they insulted me. It wasn't about me at that time because I was just saturated in this Word as a young Christian, on fire for God, and just didn't care what their attitude. I just come to make it better if I can. Same guy, a few days later, after I just loved on him and wouldn't change my attitude, there's a black guy named Rosie out on our crew, and I would always, Rosie liked to hear me sing, so I'd just go out and just sing the top of my lungs, you know, for Rosie and sing a little Christian song, And I'd say, who loves you, Rosie? And he'd say, you and Jesus, Pastor, you and Jesus. Because I'd always tell him, me and Jesus, we love you, Rosie. So the same guy that had told me not to even call him by his first name, he says to me a few days later, he said, preacher! I thought, yeah, whoa. He's upset again. Who loves you? Wow! You and Satan, buddy? No, I didn't say that. That's what you kind of think, you know. But he said, me and Jesus. I thought, wow, a complete turnaround in a few days just because I didn't change. I gave him a gift that just like Jesus gave to Zacchaeus when nobody loved him and he was cranky and hateful. I gave him unconditional love. Today, I must go home with you. I want you to remember those words at Christmas when you're around the family that's always, today, I'm here, but Jesus is here. The reason it's going to be different in this house today is because I'm here. Not in a haughty way, but you need to know. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Some of you hadn't figured that part out yet. I can tell by your reaction sometimes. Greater is He. Who's the greater force in the room? It's the one that wins the attitude. That's the greater force. And a lot of times as Christians, we get down on their attitude level and their level, and we begin to feel the walls come up. And this year I want it to be different with us, and just to say that we're not having any of that in our sphere, and we can illuminate a whole room because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Just like this. See, He had no support from anybody. Verse 6, so He made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. Now there's Jesus and Him, Zach. Both of their attitudes are good and excited about going home. But look at all the crowd around Him, the religious group. But when they saw it, they all what? They did the carnal, the natural thing. They complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. So they all complained. And so it doesn't take the whole senses of the group. Your family might even... When I grew up in a very loving home, very sheltered home. My parents never were divorced, so I didn't know about divorce and step-parents and all that stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We have some good friends that we run with, and both of them came from dysfunctional homes. We talked about it the other night after dinner and said, you know, it took. And she's 38, I think, now, or 39, and she said, I'm just getting over some things. And you just learn to deal with some of that stuff, but you never get over. And they don't go to church anywhere, but they're good friends of ours, have been for years. And so we just talked about it and let them get it out in the open. And I don't know about that, you know, so I can't relate to you, but some of you could relate to each other. But I know there's always people in the crowd that's going to have different hurts and different experiences, and that's why they're going to act the way they do. The environment you grew up in, do you understand? The environment you grew up in is why you act like you do today to a great degree. But in my particular environment, if you offended one of our family members, we were all just mad at you because you offended one of us. And I can remember when I started giving gifts away like this that people had offended our family, and my family members noticed, they would say stuff like, do you know that what they said about Dad or what that, you know, we had one guy trying to, in our family, he was pretty wealthy, and he'd try to hide stuff to so he didn't have to pay taxes, and went to prison eventually over it. But he had put stuff in my dad's name. That my initials are J.D. Eldred. My dad is J.D. Eldred. We had a Jack Don, a Jimmy Don, and all this kind of stuff. Sounds pretty hicky, doesn't it? Bubba Don, you know. It is pretty hicky. We grew up in the country, if you hadn't picked up on my dialect by now. But he tried to put some stuff in my dad's name to keep from going to prison. Put it in J.D. Elder's name, and the IRS came. And so they went to court, and Dad was just honest on the stand, and it really hacked his brother off because this was his son, and he went to prison, but he had to tell the truth. And so they got in a big tiff. And so I saw my uncle, and I said, I was friendly to him and loved on him just like I did. Did you know what they did? Didn't you hear what happened on the stand and what he said? And I said, yes, I did. But I read something else. And I read where Jesus said, I can't do that anymore. And it wasn't pleasant. And my family didn't receive that well. And they knew I was right because they were God-fearing people. We just never went to church much and we didn't have a knowledge of the Word. I mean, if you don't have a knowledge of the Word, you can't give good presents. Let me tell you that. Because you won't know what a good present looks like. That's why we need to read this Word, study this Word, so we'll know what a good present looks like. I didn't know that I was supposed to love my enemies. That's my present to them from Jesus. And it's not from me, because I don't have that in me to give presents to my enemies. Do you? But through the power of Jesus, I can love my enemies. Some enemies, I think about them, I wouldn't give a quarter for you. But Jesus sure loves you. And so, and I'm His servant, so I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you. One of my friends said, I just don't have time for people, and I wouldn't give you a quarter for most people, I know. And he means it. In fact, he told me, he said, everybody's not like you, Jack. And then I'm thinking, well, probably a lot of people would appreciate that. Everybody's not like you, don't go around liking everybody. You know, you're unusual, he said. Am I unusual? Do you love everybody? I think you do. If you're Christ-like, you do. See, it's not about your makeup, your family, and what you struggle through coming up. What matters is what you're like now through the power and the conversion of this Word. Thy Word, David said, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. So if you don't know the Word, you can't even give a good gift, really, because you don't know what a good word, good gift looks like. So that's why it's important to study this Word. Jesus knew the Word. He knew the Father. He's the Word in the flesh. He knew the Father's will. And He says, today, I must go home with you. And so they all complained, but it didn't matter to Jesus. Verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said to Him, Lord, look, I give half my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And I believe He had some restoring to do, and probably did it, followed through. And Jesus said to him in verse 9, today salvation has come to this house because He also is the son of Abraham. All of you hate Him and all of you complain about Him, but guess what? God loves Him, I love Him, and now He's become a son. Because I gave Him a gift that none of you would give. I gave Him my time, I gave Him unconditional love, I gave Him salvation today. While no one else in the crowd would give Him the time of day, Jesus gave Him a present. That's the kind of present I want us to give this year. And you know, some of you young people, I don't care. Maybe you're the youngest one in your family and you got a dysfunctional family. You be the light. You give the gift this year. Well, I can. What can I do? You can act just like Jesus. Not holy. Don't try to come across as holy, because that's what I did for a long time. When I tried to act holy, everybody said, well, you just think you're holier than we are, don't you? And I thought, yes, I do. And that projected. Until I figured out, and I didn't mean it that way, but that's the way it came across a lot of the times. This happened after one Christmas. Years and years ago, my sister called me up, and she was pretty snonkered, and she said, you just think you're God, don't you? I was trying to witness to my family one Christmas. And I thought, I wish I had a thought in time. I said, I am what I am. No. Wouldn't that have been cool? But I'm not that sharp. But I'll never forget that. And I thought, wow, why would she say that? And she was drunk. And I said, well, I don't try to be. And I tried to be humble. But now that same sister loves Jesus and lives for Jesus. And if she needs anything, she calls me and I call her and we pray for each other. When I went to Spain this Thanksgiving, she said, I prayed for you and Jana every day for your safety and that you would be a blessing and have a good time. I never missed a day. I said, thank you, sis. I love you. See? But you got to keep giving presents that look like Jesus or you don't get the results. And here's the hard part. The hard part is taking the rejection until they accept it. But that's okay. You know, the rich young ruler didn't accept it. This guy accepted it. And so just don't worry about the results. Just worry about the seed planting, the giving. Give gifts like Jesus gave. Now, this was to a sinner. This was to someone that needed Christ and needed salvation. But I want to take you one more place and then we'll close. Look in John 20. Maybe you say, well, that would be okay, but you know, my family, they're Christians, but they're just hateful Christians and all. I mean, that happens, doesn't it? It's sad, but it happens. And so let me just show you. It doesn't matter what Jesus, when you're giving Jesus gifts, it doesn't matter what they profess to be. It doesn't matter what they profess to be. What matters is how they act and react. And Jesus says, the Bible says, you will know a person or a thing by its what? Fruit. By what comes out of it. Not by their profession. You know, I could profess to be a martial arts instructor. Well, I'm not. You know, I could strike a pose and do a whoa, you know, and all that stuff. But I wouldn't be. And if Randy got up here, that's a black belt in karate, and we struck up, you know, pose, and he'd show me, the fruit would show in a little while that he is, and I'm not. Because he's had the training. The fruit of the thing will show. If somebody's professing to be a Christian and they're all old hateful thing, I doubt they really are. And if they are, they're a miserable Christian in a bad place, and we need to love them and give them gifts just like we would a sinner, is all I'm saying. Whenever Whenever Jesus had died and ascended and or descended to the lower parts of the earth, he came and he made himself visible to his disciples, and we all know the phrase doubting Thomas. That's where we get that. It's from this scripture here. And doubting Thomas was there, and Thomas he says something like verse 24. Thomas called a twin, one of the 12, was not with them, and the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And so he said, Thomas said, "Unless I see his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my finger in the print of those nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." This is the cream of the crop. They've already lost one to suicide. That's followed Jesus around, which, by the way, just says you can follow Jesus every day for 3 years and still be a mess. Because you've got to yield to the following. You can't just profess and can't just say. It's got to become a part of who you are. That's that dying part. You die to what you want to do and you pick up your cross that doesn't feel good and wears blisters and calluses on your shoulder and you drag it around. And Jesus said, now that's the hard part. The good part is when you do that and you're killing your flesh and not doing what you want to do and not reacting like you want to react, he said, now you'll find life. You'll find the life you're looking for, but it's disguised in a cross and dying, and so we don't find it. We just sit around dying and upset and aggravated and all because we don't want to die to the flesh, so we entertain the flesh day after day after day and meditate on the flesh and what we do and how mad I am, and I'll tell you what, and the economy's bad, and all this stuff. And we don't kill the flesh, and we wonder why we don't find life, and we can't find peace and happiness. So Thomas is there, and he's followed him around. So just because you're following Jesus don't mean you're in a good place. He says, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, and the doors being shut, stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace to you." Peace to you. I was preaching about this years ago when we was over in the other building, so that's a long time ago. And I said, it said the doors are shut and Jesus came in some way, and I'll never forget, a little granny said, "Preacher, Jesus was the door." And I thought, woohoo! That's good stuff, isn't it? I am the door. He came right in. He is the door. You don't let him in. He's the door, man. He'll come right in. And he came in. And here's what I love about Jesus. Jesus, for some of you, said, "I'm too busy to put up that crap. That's the way they are, and I'm just too busy for that." How many knows Jesus had a planet to run and a universe? He's a little busier than you are, sister, brother. And Jesus says to this one doubting individual, here's his present. He says, "Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." You know what Thomas said about that gift? And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." But isn't it impressive that Jesus would take the time to address one guy that's spreading doubt in the whole crowd? I just don't have time for that. Well, yes, you do. In fact, you were created for that. You were created in God's image for that. That's why when you and I arrive at Christmas, Christmas is here. Do this in your mind. When I arrive, Christmas is here. You know, it's a power of the Holy Spirit. It's not you. It's not a bragging thing. Don't do it when you're family. You know, don't do it in front of them. You'll get that phone call I got, you know. But in your mind, for the power of the Holy Spirit, just to let the devil know, when I arrive, Christmas is here. Christ's likeness is here. Do it for Jesus' mother. She said, "Merry Christmas." Wasn't that cute? There's Jesus' mother. Merry Christmas, wasn't that her name? Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen," that's me and you, "have not seen and yet they believe." How many knows you're blessed? we haven't seen and we still believe. And he looked at you and me and he said, they're blessed. We're a blessed people. We're blessed going in and we're blessed coming out. We're blessed in the country and we're blessed in the city and we're blessed wherever we are. And so I want you to, would you take that challenge with me this year? You know, I mean, let's change traditions. We're not spending money we don't have anymore. I'm gonna have the talk with the family if you have to do that. But we're not gonna charge and we're not gonna have stress and debt after Christmas. And some of you that somebody's gonna charge something for you for Christmas is not gonna do it now. You're stressing. Well, you'll get it. Just be patient. But to say from this day forward, we're gonna have a good Christmas. We're going to figure out what we can spend and have a good attitude and a healthy attitude, and we're not spending a penny more and we're not doing anything else. And when we get with family, we're going to act like Jesus. And if they don't want to act like Jesus, we're going to give them a present this year. I'm going to give them extra grace this year. I'm going to give them unconditional love this year. I'm going to act like a Christian in the group this year, and it doesn't matter what everybody else looks like, and if they want to complain, let them complain. But I'm going to give a gift like Jesus would give this year, and our Christmas is going to be great. How many agree with that? Come on, Dustin, don't you agree with that? There you go. Yeah. Dante, don't you agree with that? There you go. Yeah. All right. We're in good shape. Juan, you agree with that? Everybody on board? Some of you bah humbugs, come on. Yeah. And we're going to because it's been presented to us by Jesus Christ. It's a gift. He gave us the gift to have this kind of ability to give those kind of presents, and we're going to use it this year. And we're going to have a Merry Christmas. Father, thank you in advance for every person under the sound of my voice. And all those that are not here this morning, still taking the holiday, whatever, you know, laying up in bed, we give them a present this morning. We extend to them this grace and this blessing as well. Because we got to come and hear the Word preached. We got to see how Jesus acts and reacts. We got to hear the songs that were sang to Him and take communion with you and just be here and be blessed today. And so those that didn't come, that have been defeated or sick in body, whatever, we extend this grace to them. That's our present right now to them. Bless them just like you bless us today over this prayer. And Lord, let this be a merry, merry Christmas to all of us this year. All the stress right now in the name of Jesus, go in the name of Jesus. No more stress. No more strain. Today it will be a good Christmas because the power of God is in you, and today God will provide enough. He'll provide everything you need. He may not provide all the wants and all the, you know, what I really want and all that stuff, but He'll provide everything we need so we can have a great Christmas. Help us, Lord, to define that and to explain that to our families and everything we need to do. Give us the grace and the wisdom and the anointing this day, Lord. And for all those that raised their hands with stress, God, I pray a special blessing on them this year. They were honest enough to say, I'm here, and they identified the truth, and I pray that you would give them a special dose of grace and blessing to not be stressed this year. But they'll leave this place knowing that God is with them, and they're going to have a great Christmas because Christ is going to be in the middle of everything they do and say and everything they enjoy. And when they don't have enough, Christ will be there. To be I am. To be their provisions. And so today we give you praise that you gave us a great gift and you saved us and you cleaned us up and you broke us and you said, now go out and give away some more gifts. Give the gifts that I've given. Unconditional love. Love to the unlovable. Mercy to those that are unbelieving and doubtful. They profess to be Christ followers, but they're just like Thomas. They always have a gripe or complaint. Help us to do just like you did, just to stop and give them extra attention and extra time and address them. And love on them just like you loved on Thomas. And we're excited about Christmas, Lord. We're excited about what you're going to do and where you're going to be and how things are going to be restored and healed and how much happier we're going to be because we're here today and we've heard your word and we're going to die to your word and we're going to experience life at Christmas all throughout the holidays. Lord, help us right now to begin to start giving those gifts away. even as we leave this place, we know people that maybe at lunch will be grumpy or cranky. Help us just say, you know what, this is how I'd usually act, but today I'm going to give them a gift. I'm not going to give them no attitude that I'd usually give today. I'm going to give them a special gift of love and not return that bitterness for bitterness. I'm going to return it with unconditional love and ask about their day and say, is there anything I can pray over you about today? And I just noticed you seem stressed. Can I help you? Is there anything I could do? Just give away love. So help us to do that. Help us begin planting good seeds today. And while Christians are praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, or He's not been your Lord, you've maybe had a profession, but in your actions and reactions He's not been, would you lift your hand? I want to pray a salvation prayer over you for restoration and for healing and salvation. Is there one? And you just need Christ to come into your life today and be your Lord and Savior. Everyone's good? Excellent. Then look up there at me and we'll close. Next week, we're going to talk about acts of random kindness. I want you to be praying because we're going to let you practice that. If you're 18 or over, and we want the whole family to get involved, but we're accountable for God's resources. So here's what I want you to pray about. Next week, our treasurer is going to have a whole handful of $10 bills. And just as a symbol of act of kindness, if you want to participate, we're going to give you a $10 bill. You have to be 18 or over. Well, you know, if you're 18 or over, you can participate. But we're going to give you a $10 bill, and we want you to go out and do something good with it. Now, if you're not 18 or over, your family will have some or what, and you can get involved with them. Or if you don't have family, let us know. We might make an exception for you. But here's what, you can't spend it on you and your family, but you got to go out and sow it somewhere and meet a need. You say, well, that's not much. Well, we don't have all that much yet. Maybe next year it'd be $100. But by faith, we just want to say, what would I do with $10 that I just have to go out and do a random act? Just something that I would, maybe it's the neighbor next door that's always kind to you, just getting them a little $10 gift and taking it next door. Maybe it's to somebody that's always going the extra mile. Maybe it's to somebody that needs food. Maybe you want to make sandwiches and go down and feed the poor. I don't know. But I want you to just start praying over it. And Eric's going to show us some random acts that Jesus did. And so we want you to begin to pray and say, what would I do? And some of you say, well, I don't want the stress and hassle. Well, it's not about you. It's about Jesus and planting a seed that you normally wouldn't plant. And it was brought up in our discussions. Well, what if we wanted to give more? Well, reach in your pocket and get the additional funds out and give more. You can't outgive God. But we want to plant seeds from our church out in our community. Just a seed. You know, you might want to buy 10 cards and send them to 10 people that just you never blessed before that bless you. I don't know. Be creative. Ask the Holy Spirit this week. And then we'll let Eric give us some examples from the Word of God. And so we want you to be praying on that. And that's going to be some just seed money out in our community from you. You don't have to do it, but we encourage you, if you're here, to pray on that. Father, we just ask that you would bless this congregation. Lift them up to you. Let them be salt and light this week as they go out into the world and out in families. And through these holidays, Lord, we ask you to just begin to help us to plant good seeds of giving. Gifts that we normally would never give, this year we're going to give those. We're going to give an extra dose of unconditional love. We're going to give an extra dose of grace. We're going to give an extra dose of kindness. Things we normally wouldn't give. This is a present. It's not for me. This is a present. We're going to give it in Jesus' name. So prepare our hearts, and God, we're looking for a great Christmas in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. If you're a first-time visitor, we've got a little gift for you up here. I'd like to meet you right up here at the front. God bless you, and we'll see you Wednesday night.